Military Mondays with David Katz.
David Katz, a very, very good morning, Major David Katz. How are you?
How are you doing?
I am doing very well, thank you. Lockdown's been good for you, hey?
Well, I've been productive. I mean, I've got to say with all humility, I have been very, very productive. I've had sort of uninterrupted, unfettered time just to sit and write, which I've been doing, which is great.
It is amazing. It is fantastic. So have you made good progress with the book?
Yes, I have. I'm almost halfway through it. You know, there's something funny about writing. It's not actually a writing process. I mean, you're an author. You know what it's all about. Mm. You don't really write. You just edit. I mean, writing is easy. You can sit down and just write a hell of a lot. It's the editing that takes a hell of a lot of time. So I'm busy now. I've written out all my chapters, and I'm busy editing. I must probably have to go through the same editing process four or five times, you know, for each chapter.
And it starts
to make sense. Yeah.
It's just the worst part, that editing. I hate editing. I'm like, really, it's really, really, for me, the toughest part of writing is that going.
But it's the most important part.
Of course, that
is the crux of the matter. I mean, anybody can sit down and write. Mm. And, there's a discipline to sitting down and putting your thoughts down on a piece of paper. But it's the editing process that polishes that book and makes it into something, that's readable, you know?
Absolutely right. May the 8th is VE Day.
Let's talk about that. Victory in Europe. Mm. And we are the 75th anniversary. 8th of May 1945. So this would have been a big year for the anniversary of victory in Europe. And it looks like a lot of it has been cancelled. It was going to be a public holiday in the UK. Well, I mean, they've had a lot of public holidays now in a row, so it's not going to take place in the UK, the celebrations. And of course, every year there are massive Victory Day celebrations in Russia. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to watch one of those Victory Day celebrations.
No.
It is absolutely astounding. You should go to YouTube, go and look at last year's one. I don't know if they've had one this year. And it is absolutely astounding. It's an unbelievable parade commemorating victory in Europe. And of course, it is so integral to the Russian culture, this whole Second World War and the victory that they achieved. I don't know if you've had the pleasure of going to Moscow or to Russia.
I've been to Russia. I haven't been to Moscow.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. I mean, how important this victory is in Russia. It just forms part of the whole culture, and it's celebrated throughout the year, but especially during May, and it's something to behold. It really is.
Give us a sense of never mind the commemorations, but actually what went down on May the 8th.
Okay, so let's talk about the last month of the war, because May the 8th was a signing ceremony where the Germans actually sat down with the Russians and the British and finally signed the surrender. Hitler had committed suicide on the 30th of April. The war lasted a further 8 days. I can say to you that the last month of the war was the most costly in terms of lives. It involved the siege of Berlin by the Russians. And they lost literally hundreds and thousands of lives in that siege in that last month. So the last year of the war, 1945, those last few months were the most costly of all the years. And of course, Berlin lay in absolute ruins. And we discussed last week, interestingly, we discussed Hitler's suicide. And I think you raised the question about, do we have proof that he actually committed suicide in the bunker? And I sort of gave you logical proof. But interestingly enough, that night there was a documentary issued by Deutsche Welle, and I encourage people to go and have a look at it. It's on YouTube. It's called The Death of Adolf Hitler. And it explains exactly what happened under the Russians. The Russians found the body, and they needed to identify it. And they got hold of the assistant to the dentist, Hitler's dentist's assistant, who identified the teeth according to the dental charts and that type of thing. She was actually, because the Russians didn't want to let out that Hitler was actually dead. She was actually arrested and spent many years in a Soviet prisoner camp. And she was eventually released. But the Russian woman who was in charge of the investigation, also came out after Stalin's death in 1953. She released a statement to say that she was actually involved in identifying his body and that type of thing. And that was also suppressed to a certain extent. And only really all this documentation came to light in 1989, between 1989 and 1994, when the Russian archives were opened up. So there's some of the documentary proof that the man actually committed suicide in Berlin. Mm. So all these things were happening. The war, obviously, against Japan still continued right up until August. But May the 8th marked the end of the total devastation of Europe and the devastation of Berlin, and hundreds of thousands of lives lost on each side during those last months of the war. So it was obviously a relief to all the parties concerned. Mm. That they actually sat down in this and the Germans surrendered unconditionally on that day. And of course the Cold War started immediately. As the Second World War ended on May the 8th, so the Cold War started on May the 9th and just intensified from there on out.
Interesting. Completely unrelated question. Gimple wants to know, who has more rank, Colonel Tom or Major David?
What about General Tyers?
No, man. Have you been following the story of... isn't it Captain Tom?
Yeah, it's Tom Moore. Yeah.
I think it's Captain Tom.
It is Captain Tom.
Mm, mm. Have you been following his story?
No. Tell me about Captain Tom.
So he's just turned 100, actually. He turned 100.
Oh, Captain Tom, of course.
So anyway, so Gimple wants to know.
Okay, so the answer to that is second lieutenant, captain, major.
So they you outrank him. So you don't need to do laps in your garden is what we're trying to do.
I'm never going to attract that type of money by doing laps in my garden. I mean, I can try. I can give it a go. Should we do it for a couple of weeks and see what happens? But no, he's extraordinary. I mean, he's got something like 50 million pounds doing those laps on his Zimmer.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. People says they made him a colonel. When?
They did on his birthday.
Oh, really?
Mm. Well, now he outranks me. There we go.
Oh, gosh. So now he can make you do those laps. When was it accepted, or when was it known or understood that the war was now, it was inevitably going to be won by the Allies, the war in Europe at least?
That's a debatable point, is when was the turning point of the Second World War, where there was a couple of turning points. And the first indication that the Germans were beatable was at Stalingrad in January 1943, where the Russians surrounded the city and captured the whole of the German 6th Army. And that was the first time that the Germans had been defeated in detail. The previous year, obviously, they were turned back from the gates of Moscow, but this was the first time that the Germans actually succumbed to the Russians. And from there, I would say, and also the Americans joining the war effort also was a turning point, because once the Americans had come in on the Allied side, you could see economically that there was no chance of actually winning the war in the long term. So there were a number of turning points, and from Stalingrad going backwards, the Germans were on a hiding to nowhere. So I suppose one could say for absolute certainty that it was an irreversible, 1943 was probably the year that the Germans even realized that it was irreversible, that they were up against it and they were not going to win the war. Yet because they were forced to unconditionally surrender, which I don't think was the wrong thing, because you couldn't live with a regime like that under any circumstances. But the Allies demanding unconditional surrender prolonged that war up until 1945. Had they offered some type of conditional surrender, maybe there would have been an overthrow of Hitler. So I would say 1943 is the year where you can identify that the Germans couldn't have come back.
Right. And the 8th of May noted as the day that that it was officially all over. That's when we see all those photos from New York and London. Is that VE Day?
That's VE Day, and I think the Russians celebrated one day later on the 9th of May. Although the war did continue, I must tell you, in certain parts of Europe for the next couple of days, there was a continuation of the war in Czechoslovakia. Very, very interesting story. A gentleman called Vlasov, who was a Russian general captured by the Germans, who turned over to the German side. Him and his Russians fought for the German side, turned again against the Germans right at the end of the war, and helped liberate Prague from the Germans, and this carried on from May the 9th, May the 10th. So there were little pockets of resistance all over Europe that were still continuing to to hold out. In fact, I think the last action of the Second World War was a Georgian unit fighting under the Germans, who turned against the Germans and were fighting in some of the occupied areas of the Netherlands also. After May the 8th. Mm. So, yeah. Although there was a signing of their peace treaty, there were little pockets of resistance that were continuing throughout Europe. But it was pretty much all over by May the 8th, May the 9th.
It's kind of fascinating to me. It's always of interest to me is what happens immediately after the war. I mean, you've got people fighting the most vicious and aggressive fight against each other. Then word comes down that this is now all over. And yeah. That's it. There's nothing you can do. It's got to be the strength. It just shows, to some extent, the absurdity of the war, of any war, really.
Well, it's absolutely absurd. But imagine being the last soldier to die in the last minute before the peace treaty signed. Nobody wants to be that. And you have to question why people will continue to fight, knowing that the end is there and that there is going to be an end to it, and yet they carry on fighting to the last. It's quite bizarre, quite unbelievable to actually think about that. But I mean, people held out with no hope whatsoever. People held out to the very last. The last troops to die in Berlin were in fact not even German. They were French. French SS people had joined the German SS from France, and they were one of the last units to defend Hitler's bunker right at the end. They weren't even Germans; they were Frenchmen.
Well, I suppose Hitler wasn't even German; he was Austrian. So it kind of
absolutely. Makes
sense. Yeah, also, they probably had they realized there's no chance they were going back to France.
But there's absolutely, and I mean, they knew that there would be a hell of a lot of trouble going back there. So they fought to the absolute last, and that's very very interesting. But I mean, if you can think. Just about the mindset that you need to have in those last couple of weeks when you know the end is near, that you just don't want to risk your life. I mean, to die in those last couple of weeks. I mean, it seems pretty pointless at the end of the day.
Yeah, fascinating conversation. Major David Katz, thank you as always. Military Mondays bringing us a different way to look at historical and current events. It is 8:28. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning.